How we doing out there? Another hour under the belt. I am Reese on the radio, filling in for Bowerly. This is News Radio 930 WBEN. We'll take your phone calls a little later on, but we have a guest in the house. I want to talk to him. I saw him on the Channel 4 News the other day, and I thought it was an interesting court case that he has on his hands, and I want to ask him a little bit about it. On the line with us is John Elmore, and John Elmore is the owner, and I have to say probably a very esteemed lawyer from the law office of John V. Elmore, PC, who joins us. Thank you, Mr. Elmore. I appreciate you coming in on short notice.
Sure, and thank you for this invitation.
Well, it is my pleasure. So John Elmore is representing the families in the top shooting that happened back in May of 2022, and he is going after the social media companies that the assailant had referenced in his manifesto. I believe one of them being 4chan was one, but social media in general is the focus of this lawsuit because Mr. Elmore has a point of view that believes that the social media companies are poisoning children and young people into committing heinous acts and behaving poorly, not just the detriment of themselves, but to others. And I thought it was a particular perspective, because I think if this case were to go anywhere, I believe that this is a groundbreaking case for just a local lawyer to take on. So I want to ask him about it. Mr. Elmore, tell me a little bit about what was the connection here that got you involved in this case? Did the family come to you, or did you approach the family about this case?
No, I'm a well-respected lawyer here in Buffalo, and three families and one survivor, family connected, contacted with me for legal representation because they lost their loved ones.
Right.
And so we filed a lawsuit. I guess you're mostly interested in the social media aspect, but we did also file a lawsuit against the manufacturer of the body armor,
right,
the person that sold the weapon, as well as the manufacturer that sold a product, a lock that allowed that weapon to have a gun magazine that was removable, which is illegal in New York State. But among the social media platforms that we sued were Facebook, Meta, Alphabet, Google, Discord, Reddit, Amazon, 4chan, Good Smile, and our and again the weapons that I really mentioned before.
Right.
And so the lawsuit it's unique because there is a federal law that makes it very difficult to sue social media platforms.
Right.
Lawyers just call it Section 230.
Right.
But Section 230 says that you cannot sue a law to a social media platform based up on the content because of freedom of speech.
Mm-hmm.
But you can sue the person that writes it, but not the host of it, according to this Section 230.
That's correct.
So what we did, and again, I have some partners. It's not just me alone, but I knew that this was a lawsuit that was bigger than me and my law office, and so I got some partners to join me, including the Gabby Giffords Foundation, which they're experts in the gun industry, because mm-hmm. there's a gun case as well.
Right.
And I contacted a guy by the name of Alan Bergman, who's out of Seattle, Washington, and he founded an organization called the Social Media Victims Law Center.
Mm-hmm.
And I got to, them to become part of a team, along with a mass tort law firm out of New York City that's as well, because this lawsuit it's massive, okay?
Sure.
And so what we decided to do was to look at a products liability lawsuit against the social media platforms, because Gendron, in his own manifesto and even in his plea of guilty in Erie County Court, made it clear that before the pandemic, before he got addicted to social media, that he bore no animosity towards African Americans or Jews or Hispanics or gays, but that he became absorbed in the internet, almost to the point where he got addicted to the internet, and then started seeing live streams of live shootings and reading about other mass shootings, and then he became pretty much radicalized,
right,
to become a white supremacist, mm-hmm, and believed in an acceleration theory that he learned from the internet, mm-hmm, where he believes that people of African American descent and Hispanics now are becoming a majority, and they're, mm-hmm, a danger to the white race. And there's something called the acceleration theory, where he wanted to create a violent act that he would hope that would create a race war, because he hoped that African Americans would retaliate violently, and, mm-hmm, and there would be a race war, and then eventually the African American race would be eliminated in a race war. And so what we've learned is this lawsuit is, it's not a lawsuit based upon the content.
Right.
I mean, there are over 150 white supremacist hate groups that have a high presence on Facebook and are just disseminating hate. But what we've learned is that the social media platforms, they make money. They maximize the money that they earn from their advertisers,
right,
based upon how long the user is on social media, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And so what we did is we filed a products liability suit, basically alleging that these products are designed in a dangerous way to get people addicted. And they do it with the bells and the whistles and the likes and all of the gadgets. And then even in Gendron's case, by, you know, that you have certain choices or recommendations that different sites give you. And then those recommendations sent him more violent and extreme content, including live shootings that occurred in other places, and he became radicalized and encouraged to do that. And so
let's talk about that part there. And for those of you just joining us, we're on the phone with John V. Elmore of the Law Office of John V. Elmore, and you said that, you know, that the social media companies, in essence, they're feeding this material to this shooter. I'm not going to refer to him his name. He's not going to get any burn on this show. But, you know, mm-hmm, it's feeding this information to him. In essence, it's unfiltered, right? And it's, mm-hmm, like unmitigated nonsense coming right back to this young man, where, in essence, whatever he's looking for, the social media company is filling his appetite. Just like, hey, you want more of those Brussels sprouts, buddy? We'll give them to you. And they're doing that. But here's the interesting part. And again, you and I ideologically will probably never see eye to eye, but here we do. Let me tell you why. Part of what my biggest argument was about social media in 2020, you may know, was that companies like Meta, companies like Twitter, before Elon Musk took it over, went painstakingly above and beyond to censor, shadow ban, and quell anything that the social media platforms did not want out there in the public view. And in your case, what you're saying is that they had a person who was getting so much radical, I almost find it tantamount to like ISIS videos, right? Like, what, you know, that ISIS organization, I think they had a website called the Inspire or something back in the George W. Bush days, right? Or even during the Obama days, that people had to shut down because they felt that those websites were radicalizing people to join ISIS. And in this case, you're pretty much saying the same thing, is that this shooter was being fed this nonsense. They, you know, and we know that the social media companies can squash something they don't like on the internet. They'll keep it from being spread. But in this man's case, they didn't even bother.
So what our theory is this.
Yes.
The public can understand that when a manufacturer puts out a dangerous product into commerce, mm-hmm, and that dangerous product injures people, then they're responsible. It could,
right,
be putting out a dangerous car, and then the car, you know, doesn't have, has faulty brakes, and people get killed. Yeah, or dangerous drug, and people get killed. So when we look at the internet, right, these companies have psychologists, they have psychiatrists, they have marketing people, and they design the internet to get people addicted. And they know that it harms children, that it harms teenagers, okay?
Right.
We have something in our brains.
What you're saying is that the, you're comparing it to, you know, a car manufacturer or any other manufacturer, but in this particular case, it's a little unique because what this social media company is doing is not, you know, they're not selling you something with faulty brakes. They're selling you something that they control the brakes. But in this case, what the social media company is, and tell me if I'm wrong here, this is more than just selling a defective product. This is a product that actually is influencing the user. Right. So it's doing the thing, because having faulty brakes is they don't have a stopgap. Right. They don't have something that prevents the user. They're feeding it to the user in this case. Isn't that correct?
They're feeding it to the user. There are certain feeds when you let me talk to the public, just generally speaking. OK, just to educate people about the dangers of social media, regardless of feelings about the lawsuit. OK, there are studies that show that a lot of teenagers get addicted to social media and how harmful it is, okay? It's harmful because there's this release of dopamine in your brain. It's a chemical that causes people to feel happy. Cocaine, you get a dopamine effect. People that go into play a slot machine because of the bells and whistles, they stay on that slot machine because of, and it's a dopamine when people have sex or look at pornography, it's that dopamine in their brain, okay? And so the social media platforms are aware of that, and they design these products in a way to increase teenagers to release that dopamine.
Right.
And so they stay on it. I mean, just look at yourself if you go to an airport or a waiting room or at a restaurant, and look at how just adults are just glued to their phones now, not even talking to each other. And it's because it's designed to get people addicted. And there are studies, and all these social media platforms are aware of the effect of social media on teenagers' health, anxiety, depression, loneliness, distorted body image, low self-esteem, eating disorders, risky behavior, suicide, cyberbullying, all of these things that teenagers they're experiencing. And so you think about it, you know, when somebody signs up for a social media, you know, with their kids, their parents are allowing them to do that. You know, is there any warning that they receive from these platforms to say, well, wait a minute, this is dangerous? And so you have teenagers now that they're constantly checking the notifications.
Right.
They're avoiding.
Oh, hell, I do that,
situations.
John. I do that. I'm 54.
You know, they're neglecting their responsibilities, not doing their homework, you know, and they get addicted to it. And the more they're addicted to it, then, because on all these pages, there's advertisers. And the longer somebody is on there, then some of the richest people, they're becoming the wealthiest people on the freaking planet.
Yeah, but don't make it about that.
Designed.
Huh? John, don't make it about whether or not they're getting wealthy. Listen, you need to make it just about how they're harming kids. Don't make it a class thing. I'm not an attorney.
What I'm trying to say is is that corporations that put public safety
and they should
profits above public safety. That's why that's relevant. When you put profits above public safety, then that's when you deserve to get hauled into the court. And if their parents are listening, there's children out there that are having changes in their sleep patterns, decreases
in their behaviors,
activity. They're more focused, might be on their appearance. Their eating habits have changed. They become irritable. Mm-hmm. They become isolated from their peers and family.
No, listen, we're all in agreement with you, John. And again, like I said, the reason why I say this is an interesting case is because I know the hurdles. You pretty much beat an incredible hurdle with the ruling that you got that the social media companies cannot dismiss this case, and you're going to go for discovery. But I want to ask you two quick questions before you get out of here. The first one is, what do you say to a guy like me as a critic, and I'm looking at this on a broader scale, that if this individual, right, this killer, this animal, right, what do you say that in the event that you do win this case, that this particular person has license to then go after the social media company saying that they are the ones who are responsible for his actions? What do you say to that?
What I'm trying to do, the focus of this lawsuit is, first of all, these family members have lost. They've joined a club that no one in America wants to join, that people, yeah. Now it's just becoming too often. I mean, in 1975, there were only 3 mass shootings in the whole United States. Last year, there were about 660. Social media has played a role in a lot of them, okay? Right. You can't go to a mall, to a movie, worry about your children and at school, or go to a parade and not think about, is there going to be a mass shooting here? And so our goal is to make this country safer. And that's the main thing that these families want, is because they don't want to see another mass shooting. They don't want anybody to join that club. And the lawyers in the case, we want to see this country safer as well. So by number one, because we filed this lawsuit, it gives us a platform to educate people about the dangers of social media, which I've been doing for the past 20 minutes.
And I appreciate that.
Hopefully this lawsuit now, even though it's not over because we won this victory, right, is going to make some of these social media platforms reform, maybe start warning people about the dangers of social media.
Like I said, there could be.
Moderating their platforms, you know, making, you know, not targeting vulnerable teenagers, you know, by sending them the harmful, dangerous stuff that's going to cause them to either hurt themselves or hurt other people.
John Elmore, that was the reason why I had you on, because I said I thought it was a different, an interesting perspective. And I hope you make some inroads. I hope this doesn't turn out to be the social media turns around and says, hey, let's settle this so we don't get to the bottom of it. We don't get to see how the sausage is made. Before I let you go, because we've already gone over and I wanted to ask you this, how do you feel about Washington State getting rid of the bar exam as a lawyer, good or bad?
Wow. Well, I can say, if there are people that say that there are too many lawyers, then there's going to be way too many more if you don't have to take the bar.
Thank you, John. John V. Elmore of the Law Office of John V. Elmore. Thank you for joining us, man. We got to take a break. We'll talk about this on the opposite side when we return. It's Reese on the Radio, filling in for Tom Bowerly on News Radio 930 WBEN.